I've had some pretty messed up nightmares throughout my life. Most, of course, are forgotten throughout the years. There is one, however, that has always been very memorable. The following nightmare reminds me of something that you would see in a Silent Hill video game. I found myself in a dark room, slightly disoriented. I looked around and stood to my feet, and saw shelves of toys all around me. It was then that I realized that I was in a toy store, obviously after hours. I started hearing scurrying noises, like insects, only bigger, much bigger. I saw something moving in the dark, but I couldn't make out what it was. However, it was enough to give me chills. It looked like a humanoid-shaped entity of some sort, crawling on the toy shelves. It was as big as a person, that much I knew. I ran around one of the toy shelves to see a woman barely out of her teenage years surrounded by these things. The best way I could describe them is to imagine corpses covered in what looked like red roots or bloody tendons. They had no eyes, no tongue, and where their limbs should have been, there was long red root-like strands that they used to scurry around like spiders. All at once, they all jumped on her. There was nothing that I could do for her. Soon the hideous creatures focused their attention on me. I frantically looked for a way out of this toy shop of horrors. I noticed by the store's entrance, there was a window that was broken, and it was big enough for a person to easily walk through. I darted out of the store window and into the city street. All around me, the buildings were in ruins, and had large red roots growing all through them. The next thing I saw was easily one of the freakiest sights to ever behold. There was the head of a doll lying on the street just a few yards away from where I was standing. The head suddenly grew those same grotesque roots sprouting from where its neck should have been. One of its plastic eyes were popped out, revealing more of those red roots. The creature then fixed itself in my direction. It then let out a bone-chilling shriek, like some kind of insect. Loud scurrying noises filled my ears as I turned to see a stampede of those horrific creatures I saw from the toy store now heading straight for me. Needless to say, I ran, much faster than I thought I was able to. The creatures were equally fast. I ran through the ruined apocalyptic streets, desperate to escape from the terror just at my heels. I was rounding the corner when my heart sank. It was a dead end. I looked over to see an apartment building still standing. I ran through the unlocked door and slammed it behind me. The creatures were on the other side of the door trying to get in. I bolted the door and pushed with all my might to keep the monsters outside, and I knew that it was only a matter of time before those things broke in. Oddly enough, they stopped, and I could actually hear them scurrying away. I looked around in the darkened room that I was in. It looked like I was in a living room. I then heard a sound that struck me to my core. I heard something sniffing around. I turned to see something that I don't think even Lovecraft could have imagined himself. There was what looked like a hairless dog, about the size of a Doberman. The dog, if you could even call it that, had bluish pale skin. Some sort of veined, pulsating tumor was consuming most of its head, and in place of the dog's legs appeared to be praying mantis claws. The beast could not see me, so it was sniffing around. Before it located me, I decided to run back towards the entrance of the apartment. I tried unlocking the door. However, the bolt was stuck. I turned around to hear the dog snarling at me. There was a window next to the door, so I quickly opened it and climbed through. I shut it just before the mutant mutt was about to get me. I turned around to see a little girl. She didn't look a day over 10, and she was wearing a long blue and white dress. She had curly blonde hair and dark blue eyes that looked like jewels. Her skin was extremely pale. She didn't look up at me. She only stared at the ground. I tried talking to her. She then turned to face the window I just crawled out of. I looked, and I was stunned, for lack of a better word. I saw the same little girl inside the apartment. It was no longer in ruins. She was being cradled by who I assumed to be her mother. The woman looked to be in her 30s and wore a long yellow dress. and had the same golden locks and deep ocean blue eyes. I didn't know what was going on, so I turned around to see if the little girl was somehow still standing before me, and what I saw in the window was some sort of glimpse into her past. However, what stood before me, the little girl, was now somehow paler than before, with dark gray circles under her now white eyes. Her dress was now torn and bloodied. Her gaze was now cryptic. What was this? Was this apocalypse all her doing? Was I stuck in some sort of twisted world? All questions that would never be answered. Because that's when I awoke. For context, I'm 17 years old and was raised Catholic. I live with my parents and my grandma, who is blind. After one stressful week of work and school, I was exhausted. My parents were going out and offered to take me with them. I told them that I was too tired to go and was going to sleep even though it was still pretty early. They left around 6:30, and I knew they wouldn't be back until around 9, possibly later. I drifted off to sleep as soon as they left. I sat up in bed in a panic. I had a sinking feeling in my stomach, and I knew that something was wrong. I panicked because I felt that if I stayed in bed, something bad would happen. I ran out of my room and into the hallway. I was met there by a black dog with glowing yellow eyes. The dog bared its teeth at me and began growling. I slowly backed away towards my bedroom door. The dog suddenly stopped growling, then turned and disappeared back into the dark hallway. A black portal then formed on the floor where the dog had been standing. A deranged woman with deep cuts on her face and body emerged from the black hole. Her hair was covering portions of her face. Her long arms stretched to either side of the portal, and she pulled herself out. She then began crawling towards me fast. I barely made it back into my room, slamming the door behind me. I climbed into bed and flung the sheets over my head. I then jolted awake and sat upright. I was sweating and my heart was racing. I wanted to get out of bed, but something told me not to. Maybe I was just being paranoid. I checked the time and saw that it was 8 p.m. I decided to wait for my parents to come back to get out of bed, but I knew they wouldn't be home for at least another hour. Suddenly, to my surprise, I heard the garage door open. I found it kind of odd that they had come back so early, but I was a bit relieved. I heard their familiar footsteps and muffled voices. I heard shuffling in the kitchen, and even heard my dad take off his shoes noisily as he usually does, but something just didn't seem right. I heard my dad's footsteps go from the wood floor to the carpet, while my mom was moving things around in the kitchen. I stayed still in my bed, staring wide-eyed, listening intently to every noise my parents made. I was about to get out of bed, when I felt as if I was being lured outside. Again, it could have just been me being paranoid, but as soon as I made up my mind that I would stay in bed, all the noises in my house stopped. I almost started crying, and I couldn't believe my ears. It was now 8:30. What had I been listening to for the past half hour? My thoughts were interrupted by the sound of my grandmother opening her door to use the restroom. Without thinking, I jumped out of bed, turned on my lights, and opened my bedroom door, half expecting to see a black dog. But I was greeted by my grandmother. I asked her if Mom and Dad were home. My grandmother told me that she hadn't heard anything. I thanked her, then closed my bedroom door. I thought that would be the end of it. But a few weeks later, I had another nightmare. I was in bed, but before I could sit up, the lady from my previous nightmare pushed me down. She was repulsive and disgusting. She stared intently into my eyes. She sang a song in a different language, with an awful demonic voice. Her lips curled into a disgusting grin. I then began to pray out loud. When I started, she became startled and was taken aback. Her smile had been replaced with a snarl. She was angry, but I began praying louder and louder, and she was visibly shaken. She was suddenly pulled off of me and I took in a gasp of air. She had been pressing hard into my chest. She then faded from my sight, and I drifted back into a deep sleep. A few days passed since I had any more nightmares, and I almost completely forgot about them. But recently I came back home from spending the evening with my parents, and I went to go check on my grandma. When I entered her room, she grabbed onto me. She seemed to be frightened about something. She asked me in a worried tone that if we had come back to the house earlier. I told her no, and asked her why. She said that about an hour before we came back, she heard my parents' voices in the kitchen and heard them walking around. But then the noises suddenly stopped. That was the last occurrence in this chain of events, and I'm just hoping that it ends there. Why is it the best moments from your dreams fade away in time, but the worst ones seem to carve themselves into your subconscious, like battle scars? On the morning of my 23rd birthday, I woke up from an awful nightmare that I can still remember vividly. I was living in this big house, on a very nice property in the middle of nowhere. I had a big garage filled with nice cars, and a swimming pool in the backyard. I don't recall the first half of the dream. I was walking around the house with my friends and family. I guess I was giving them a tour. I remember my girlfriend in the dream was Gretchen from the movie Mean Girls, and she was constantly by my side, leaning over and planting long kisses on my cheek. As the dream progressed, I remember there was a party going on in my basement, where there was a game room and an open bar. There were loads of people down there, and I was happy that I was so popular. At the far end of the basement was a heavy door, which led into a huge, dark, cold room. There was dirt on the floor, and trees were scattered all around. Walking into the room felt like entering a forest at night. There was a chill in the air, and there wasn't any noise. But something lived in there. I called it Jason, in reference to Jason Voorhees. But it wasn't him. It was something that was much worse. It was a towering figure that would emerge from the trees, grab you, and start stabbing you repeatedly with a blade, dragging you into the darkness. I never knew why. Perhaps it was to eat its victims or torture them. I wasn't sure, but I didn't care. All I knew was that I was required to sacrifice some of my friends to it. I would walk through the basement, talk to my friends, real people that I knew from work and school, and then I would steer them in the direction of the door, shove them in, and slam it shut. And from behind the door, I could hear screaming. Everyone else behind me enjoying the party never seemed to notice. I would do that for what felt like once every 10 minutes. I would go to the bar, make myself a drink, go upstairs, mingle with the crowd, shoot some pool, make out with Gretchen, then walk back downstairs and shove someone else through the door. I would slam it shut, and then I would hear the screaming. But in the dream, I had no feelings of guilt at all. It was like a chore that I had to do. The only thing that made me nervous was everybody leaving before Jason was satisfied. The dream went on for a while like that, me playing the part of a good host and shoving more people through the door. I then went upstairs and took Gretchen into the bedroom. After a while, I realized that I needed to shove someone else through the door downstairs, but I couldn't exactly bring myself to walk away from what I was doing. After some time had passed, I felt a strong chill in the air. Gretchen asked me, "Why is it so cold?" I leapt out of bed, suddenly terrified, because I knew the basement door was open. I ran all the way downstairs, but the house was now completely empty, and there was no one left downstairs in the basement. I had no idea where they had run away to, or if Jason caught them all. The basement door was swinging open, and even though I couldn't see him in the darkness, I knew he was there. Gretchen came running behind me and asked frantically what was wrong. I shoved her right through the door without hesitating and slammed it shut. She then started screaming bloody murder. I backed away from the door, and for a moment, there was silence. Then the door shattered, and Jason emerged. He had a hockey mask that was covering the top half of his face, but his mouth was hanging wide open, with rows of fangs. He had a pentagram on his chest, He swung at me with a butcher's knife, but I sprinted back upstairs, with him trailing behind me. When I slammed my bedroom door, he smashed a hole through it with his knife and cut off a chunk of my hand. I remembered wanting to run outside, but with my injured hand, I knew that I wouldn't be able to unlock the deadbolt and turn the knob. I glanced out my window, and I caught the glimpse of all my friends in bloody pieces scattered around the grass. I somehow managed to make my way to the attic. Jason was right on my heels. I slammed the attic door shut behind me, plunging myself into darkness. But as soon as I did that, I realized that I had made a mistake. I forgot about the creature that lived in my attic, and that it hadn't been fed all day. I heard a quick shuffling of feet, and a giant spider creature grabbed me from behind. I felt my flesh being torn, as I was hung suspended from a massive web. I woke up flailing and shaking, then I jumped out of bed. It was the most realistic and awful dream I had ever had. I suppose my dream self deserved it, but it made me take a hard look at myself in reality and made me question what kind of person I was and if I would sacrifice others to save myself. I had a nightmare once that I was bound and locked inside a giant incinerator where bodies were cremated. I remember feeling the long, smooth metal sides and the ash beneath my hands. I remember smelling the stench of charred meat. I tried to twist my body and break free, but there was no room to maneuver. I couldn't even straighten my legs. I started freaking out and became wildly claustrophobic. Suddenly a spot opened up by my head. I saw a clown with red eyes. He was foaming at the mouth and laughing like some kind of maniac. He asked me how badly I wanted to live and began asking me all kinds of other horrible questions, like what I would do to stay alive. Would I kill my own mother? How would I kill her? Would I make her suffer? He then asked me if I would poison a child. I kept screaming, "Yes," to every question, just so that he would let me go. He laughed at me gleefully every time I did. He made me explain about how I would kill a child while its mother would watch. I felt sick to my stomach. He kept laughing at me and poking my head with two fingers. Finally, he asked if I would kill him if he set me free, and I screamed, "No!" And he burst out laughing and said,
"Well, you aren't too bright, and now you'll burn."
He then closed the slot and turned on the flames. I felt heat for a few seconds before I woke up. My heart was racing. I couldn't bring myself to go back to sleep after that. Alright, brace yourself. This is the most appalling, stomach-churning nightmare you'll ever hear. It was a fever dream that I had after being married for 3 days. We had a delayed honeymoon, so I could recover from being sick. Have you ever heard of the human centipede? If you haven't, look it up. In the dream, my new wife and I were sewn together. Not quite in that way, like the victims were in the movie, but my left arm had been sewn down my wife's back, and her right arm had been sewn around my wrist. My left arm had also been sewn to her right leg. The skin was more than sewn, though. It was like melted and molded into each other's skin. It was almost like clay. I remember that we were released from a cage. We had a shotgun pointed in our faces, and we were told to run. We heard dogs barking in the distance, implying that we were going to be hunted. Every time we tried to stand, we fell back over. My wife is shorter than me, so her weight threw me off balance. Not to mention that we were both in terrible pain. We finally decided just to crawl. The hunter who released us dropped a handgun in front of us and said, "There's only one shot," and then walked away. I grabbed the gun, and we crawled, screaming at each other, frantically trying to move our contorted frame in a way that both bodies would be in rhythm with each other. But we couldn't do it. We didn't even make it 50 yards when we heard the dogs closing in on us. I dragged my wife with me behind a bush to hide. But she wouldn't stop screaming, so then I shot her in the head. The very second after I did that, I realized that I was doomed. I now had all this dead weight attached to me. The dogs found me and bit down into both of us. I remember trying to fight and losing a few fingers, but I didn't even wake up after the dogs tore strips of flesh off my legs and stomach. Then a second hunter appeared and wrapped a noose around my neck and began to pull at the rope, hanging me and my dead wife from the overhead branches. The weight of my wife's body was hanging off me, and I remember the hunter laughing about how we might tear apart if we hung there long enough. When I finally woke up, the first thing I did was slap my arms and legs to make sure that I was still all in one piece. I never told my wife about the dream. I suppose it was some kind of metaphor about marriage and working together. But what sickens me the most was in the dream, I shot her without hesitating. I don't know if I did that to spare her suffering or because I was frustrated with her, and that uncertainty is what bothers me. I want to tell you guys about this nightmare I had the other night. Some of you may not find it scary, but for me it was very unsettling, and I can't help but to think that there is some symbolism here. Let me know what you think. I apologize if this does not make a whole lot of sense, but dreams don't really make much sense sometimes. Anyways, the dream started off in an outdoor basketball court in a downtown setting. The sun shined brightly down onto the concrete of the court. It's funny because I'm the most non-athletic person you'll ever meet. This court had nobody but myself on it, at first. I started walking down the court in a lap formation. When I turned the second corner of the basketball court, there suddenly appeared a bustle of random people, old, young, middle-aged, and some other people that I didn't know. They were just standing and shuffling around, talking to each other. Except for one particular individual amongst the random bunch. There was a big, bald, fat man standing next to my path of travel. The man had no shirt on. His gut protruded over the belt line of his ragged blue jeans, like a looming sack of whale blubber. The man was also covered in head to toe in a tribal tattoo. He honestly looked like an overweight Yakuza enforcer. The disgusting looking man looked at me intensely, grinning with a mouth full of gold teeth. That wasn't the weirdest thing. The weirdest thing was that he was sidestepping closer to me as I was approaching. It was really disturbing to look at. I quickened my pace to make my way past the fat, smiling, tattoo-covered weirdo, and I didn't look back. When I came to the edge of the court, I noticed that it dropped off to an endless ocean. A boardwalk extended from the edge of the court to a wooden pier that was beside two ships. I know this sounds crazy, but hey, remember what I said earlier about dreams. I walked up the boardwalk to the wooden pier. I noticed that the sky was now a gloomy gray color. The first ship that was docked was a medium-sized houseboat, and the second ship looked like a Titanic replica, same size and everything. I stopped and looked at the two ships. I remembered feeling that I had to board the Titanic for some reason. I walked up to the nearby stairway that led up to the Titanic ship. There was a stream of random people in line on the stairway, waiting to board the vessel. There was a Jamaican guy dressed in formal attire, standing at the top of the stairway, taking tickets from the people as they came aboard the vessel. I remembered thinking, "Damn, I don't have a ticket." So I just stood there and watched the others. My memory is a little hazy when it comes to what happened next, but I'll recall it the best I can for you. I found myself on the deck of the houseboat, which was directly behind the Titanic ship, and there was someone yelling frantically, "The ships are still attached! Delay the departure! Delay the departure!" The houseboat was much smaller than the other ship, so I couldn't see exactly what was going on the other ship's deck. I looked down and saw that there was a hitch that connected the two ships with a series of humongous iron chains. I heard a loud horn and saw the massive ship was starting to move forward. A loud clank was heard, As the chains ran out of slack, the Titanic ship began to rock side to side. The screams of the ship's occupants could be heard as they were tossed overboard and below. Their bodies flew off the ship as it continued rocking. Let me put this into perspective for you. Have you ever seen a ship the size of the Titanic rocking back and forth at the same speed and velocity as a wooden rocking chair? It's quite a freaky and unsettling sight to behold. I know the physics may not add up, but this is a dream, remember? Suddenly, I too was sent plummeting into the ocean. I guess all the commotion sent me overboard as well. I began to descend into the depths of my watery grave. The water was as unforgivably cold as it was blue. The ocean seemed to lead down to a bottomless, pitch-black void. To make things worse, the void seemed to have a black hole characteristic, as it was pulling everything that was in the water towards it. You would know upon looking at it that it was the end of everything. I looked back up at the horrifying sight. There were hundreds, no, thousands of people sinking into the void as I was. It can only be described as raining corpses underwater. I say corpses because somehow I got a close-up view of one of the falling bodies. It was in a decaying skeletal state. All of them were. The people tossed overboard the Titanic ship had already become withered and rotten. Their empty eye sockets stared at me as they descended. I could feel the same thing happening to me. I could see my hands turn into bones. I could feel the coldness of the ocean pass through my exposed ribcage as I continued to sink deeper. Among this chaos, somehow the Titanic ship was split into two halves and fell into the depths with all the raining corpses. It fell unnaturally fast, defying the laws of physics once again. It was only a matter of seconds before the two halves disappeared into the black void below. I then strained my bony neck to look upward, breaking off a piece of decaying flesh as I did. I saw the remains of the houseboat about to come down on me, and just before it hit, that's when I finally woke up. I once had a dream that a mysterious masked figure appeared at the end of my bed, holding a flashlight. It shined it directly into my eyes until I was fully awake, and as I gasped and sat up in bed, the flashlight then clicked off, plunging both of us into darkness. And that's when I heard it say,
"There's always a reason to be afraid."